We're joined by Bill Troy, author, speaker, and CEO of Sevilla's Marketing and Troy Research. And he has written a book called Clicksand, How the Pitch Man of Online Marketing Suck You In and Ruin Your Business, by Bill Troy. Hello, Bill.
How are you doing, Mitch?
Well, I'm doing fine. I love the term clicksand. I like the fact you're a natural-born contrarian, right after my own heart. But people are just locked into and sucked into this whole cultural trend over the last 10 to 15 years, and accelerated in recent years, about you got to be online, you got to do online marketing, everything's online. But you say, wait a minute, call time out.
Yeah, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing if you do it right, but the problem is so many people are doing it wrong, and they're doing it wrong because they're listening to the pitchmen who sell it to them. And the pitchmen sell it based on what makes them money versus what makes the business money that buys it. So it's leading you in the wrong direction.
When I'm the average person, when they think of online marketing, they're kind of late to the game of social media. Think, okay, Facebook, maybe LinkedIn, Twitter. I mean, what are we talking about? What are the common mistakes people are making?
Well, I think there are so many different tools that you can use, whether it's social media or even email marketing or AdWords, online advertising. All those things kind of fall into the same bucket for me, because what they really do is a lot of times they actually damage the relationships that your business is built on. So all of those in different ways. But the bottom line is that the marketing company is trying to sell you something that's usually a high volume activity, because they make money off of volume. Mm-hmm. And so it's about efficiency for them. And that means it's usually not about effectiveness for you. So it ends up damaging the relationships, just starting to get lots of clicks or lots of visits or lots of opens. And it becomes a game that's damaging to the business.
Well, in the book, you talk about Dwight Eisenhower and the military-industrial complex, and how we're kind of in this online industrial complex.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I view it. I think that they started off with some good ideas, but now the marketing companies, and I'm talking about, you know, the giant global companies we know, whether it's Google or Facebook, and even companies like HubSpot, and even local agencies, and a lot of our local individual market. They started off with good intentions and good ideas, but they've grown so big now that they just have to keep selling at all costs to make money, and they're now more in it for themselves than for the people they started out helping.
Well, let's go back. You've got a list of principles I'm going to get to, but going back in the old days when you would sell, well, you'd just go door to door, knock on doors.
Yeah.
You'd pass your card out at the fair or at the market on Saturday morning. I mean, how have things evolved in sales?
Well, so it's interesting, because the premise of my book is that I don't think that sales have actually evolved, meaning I still think it's about relationships. And the irony in all this is that the online marketing pitchman will convince you that it's about online, right? It's about ads and
right.
downloads. When, in fact, they don't even do that themselves. They understand it's still about relationships. They sell online marketing in person. I mean, they're in every networking group and every tips group, and even the giant companies like Google certify local agencies to go out and sell in person on their behalf. So the irony is that the online marketers understand it's still about in-person sales and about real relationships, but they try to convince you that it's not.
Well, and you break down the in-person and building relationships on the phone, because you can be on the phone all day. You don't know the person, so you're really having to develop that on the phone. It's still an effective tool in 2017?
Oh, I think everything is effective if you do it correctly. I mean, if you're able to build rapport with someone, the short version is, whether you're calling someone on the phone or sending them a letter or an email or whatever, people want to care about what they care about. And so much of what's happening now with the online stuff is that we're just talking about ourselves, right? My company provides this service, and we'll just send out a million of those messages trying to get someone to respond. And no one really is getting to know the person on the other end of the handshake, the other end of the phone, or the other end of the email.
Well, that's true. It's about the customer. The customer's always right. How did you develop your philosophy? I see you're an author, speaker, CEO of, and pronunciation, Sevilla's is what I said. I hope I have that right.
Sevilla's is, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sevilla's Marketing and Troy Research. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah. Well, Sevilla's is Latin for civilized. So we just realized that there needed to be a more civilized approach to marketing. And so much of what's happening in all of our inboxes and our browsers and everything else is uncivilized these days. It's just brute force. Sometimes it's completely misleading. Sometimes it's even illegal or unethical, all in an attempt to get me to open or click or something. And we just decided, okay, there needs to be a civilized, sane approach to marketing that actually works, as opposed to this just noise that we're all having to deal with these days.
Well, it's so impersonal. And it's, yeah. it's annoying, oh, right? Just on there every second. It's just like, leave me alone, right? And,
yeah, yeah. One of the things that I talk about in the book, that so my background, Mitch, as you know, is I had a market research company. We still have Troy Research, yeah. a market research mm-hmm. company for 20 years. And so we've spent 20 years helping clients of ours interpret data and understand how you can and can't use data. And one of the difficulties the business is doing online marketing is that it's very data-driven. And there's this assumption, and in fact, it's pitched by the pitchmen to say data-driven is perfect and wonderful and, you can't miss. When in fact, data-driven can drive you right off a cliff. I mean, what happens with data is that two things. First of all, our brains are really bad in general at interpreting data. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in our lives take advantage of that. If you go into a casino, casinos give you all kinds of data designed to confuse you and get your brain to think you see patterns. And, casinos at the roulette table have that sign that tells you, shows you all the most recent spins so that your brain looks at that and goes, oh, it's got to be red next because it's been green, it's been black five times in a row. When in fact, it's meaningless data, but they give it to you because your brain misuses it. Uh-huh. And the other thing that happens with data that is really, really dangerous in the online marketing game is that data is presented without telling you if it's effective. So, for example, if you do something and the numbers go up in your data in your online marketing program, it's presented to you as though that was a good thing. It must be a good thing. More people open your email, for example. That's a simple one everyone knows.
Right.
And so what happens is that the companies using that start to do things just to try to get that number to go up, and assuming that it's a good thing for more people to open your email. So they start doing tricks like sticking your crazy subject lines in there, inserting your first name in it. And they do those things to get you to open the email, but doesn't help build a relationship. So it looks like you're moving forward, but in fact, you're starting to damage the relationships with the people on the other end who are getting stuff that they hate. So data can really be a problem, and that's a big area where the pitchmen present it as though it's great, and it can be really dangerous.
Well, what percentage of consumers, and you do research all the time, just look at anything as spam, unless it's coming from somebody they know, they just delete.
Well, it's a big thing. I mean, I think we've all gotten so used to just being inundated with stuff that we don't want. We all have things running on our computers to try to filter out the terrible stuff, and still it gets through. So I just think it's almost... What we find with civilist marketing is that there's so much noise and it's so hard to get breakthrough with people. But actually, if you do treat someone like a person, do get to know them and care about them, it actually stands out more today than it would have in the past because so few people do it. So it can be a good thing.
Well, there's obviously some good in online marketing, and otherwise people wouldn't do it. So if you can sift through the noise and just say, okay, rule that out. Now, where do we start?
Well, I think that, the simplest little phrase I would say to start with is fewer is better. Almost every business we go through and analyze to figure out, where does their revenue come from? Where do their customers come from? It's a smaller group of people. So, in simple, slogan terms, I would say 50 versus 5,000. If you take the 50 right people who really make a difference to your business, and really focus on getting to know them and treat them well, and using the online tools as a way to do that. For example, instead of using LinkedIn as a channel to yell and scream and broadcast and trick people, use it as a place to learn about your potential customer. They posted their profile on there. They've said where they'd go to school. Why don't you learn to listen to them and learn about them using LinkedIn to be more personal with them in interactions versus just using it as a place to get 5,000 connections. So.
Right.
50 people versus 5,000 people on your email list is a good kind of mindset to start with.
Yeah, so you get to know about the person, then you call them on the phone, talk to them, set up a call. Go ahead.
It takes a series of interactions to build a relationship. It's not something where I think that's one of the other challenges is that there's this mindset in online marketing that customers are a commodity. I'll just buy a list of more of them, and I'll send the same or more message to more people. I won't get to know anybody. I'll expect that they'll get to know and like me, but I won't have to know and get to like them. And that's why it doesn't ever really work.
No. Well, it's like political ads on TV. You see so many. I don't think I've watched one in 20 years.
Yeah. It's a really noisy world we live in. And that's just because there is so much infrastructure that allows you to send messages, but it doesn't teach you to do it in an effective, real rapport building way.
You mentioned something a few minutes ago about an email list. And I see people...
Yeah.
adding me to their list. I don't think I've ever had an email list. I just send one-on-one emails, or I might include two or three people and do emails. But it's pretty stupid on my part, I would guess.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, email can be used for mass, sending mass numbers of messages or individual messages. And I'm a personal believer in individual messages. I think that if you have a challenge where you need more customers and more relationships, focus on, you know, the right ones versus just blasting everybody. You just can't get it that way.
Well, it turns me off, and I say, pass this on. Pass this on to whom? My dad? My mom? You know, the guy next door? What's going on? Go ahead. You're contrarian. I love that term. And a lot of people, you know, they run around with these stats, which may not be true. Because, you know, I talk to people who are really data savvy, and they want to write off the older generations who don't live in the digital world because they say they're going to be dead, and you've heard this. And they say 80% of people who stream or who do things do it on their mobile devices. And I'm thinking, man, that's a big percentage of people. How much of those are false or they're exaggerated?
Well, I think a lot of those statistics are right. I think it's just a matter of what you do with that. I mean, I think, there's no question that, you know, 25-year-old people consume media differently today than they did 20 years ago or 40 years ago. There's no question about that. But but the issue is, and this is where it gets back to the real secret of marketing, the people who sell that technology will convince you that you have to change what you do because of the technology. And that's the wrong mindset, I think, because the person on the other end is still a human. DNA hasn't changed. Love hasn't changed. Trust and rapport and, you know, if someone's going to make a big business decision, all the emotional things that go into that still haven't changed for that person on the other end. You still have to build a relationship with them, whether that's in your love life or in your business life, or you're expecting them to make a big commitment from a financial perspective. So it's maybe more of a challenge to figure out how to build rapport with them on the other end, but you can't just give up because they're still a human and you still have to reach them.
Well, and reaching them is tough because people are busy. It seems like the day is shorter. I don't know why. You know, back in the day, you have 10 kids, people have dinner together, and they have time for reading books at night. I mean, I don't know what happened to the time, Bill. But
it's crazy. It's definitely a busier, noisier world. But again, I think that what we find with our clients is that it makes it easier to stand out and separate yourself. I mean, you get a handwritten note card from someone, or you get just a personal email that's written to you about something. It's not, some sort of spam or newsletter. It stands out. It's noticeable.
It does.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you don't really buy into this whole group marketing blast concept at all.
I definitely don't. I don't think it builds a relationship. I go through several things in the book to talk about why I think it's actually damaging. I think it's not even just something you can try on the side, and, well, if it works, it works. Because I think it's damaging when you do it, and it's not just, you know, just a zero. It's, like, potentially negative. I mean, I have this happen to me all the time. I'm sure you do, too. I meet people, you know, so I'm the CEO of a company, and so I'm a fairly attractive client. I meet other people who would like to have me as a client. We exchange business cards. We have a conversation. And the next thing that happens is I start getting their email newsletter. Like, I didn't ask for the newsletter. They never follow up with me as a person. They never follow up again with anything personal to me. They just dump me into their list and assume that somehow that's going to continue to build on the relationship we started with a handshake. And it actually damages the relationship with me versus doing nothing. They'd have been better off never responding to me again. But it's crazy that we just keep damaging people.
What a turnoff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if you two talked about basketball and you had a shared interest there and they sent you an article about your favorite coach, maybe you'd read that, right?
Absolutely. If you think about that other person, you send them something that's important to them or valuable to them, something that shows that you know them as a person. I'll give you another quick, fun example. This is one in the consumer world that happens. It just gets me mad every time. I've been going to the same dentist for years. I'm a loyal customer, and I get, like all of us, I get the email reminders and the text reminders, and then the please click on this to make sure you're going to come to your meeting and to your appointment, and don't miss your meeting. I mean, like, I get 5 messages from them before every appointment. And so what they're doing is we get into an automated world where they're actually treating their best customers, which I'm one of, like their worst customers. So they, you know, I know a few people must miss their meetings and miss their appointments occasionally. Right. Mm-hmm. So they put a system in to try to stop that. But they dumb everybody down and treat everybody like they're bad. And that's the same thing that happens with a lot of online marketing and automated tools like that. you end up treating your best relationships like they're your worst relationships, and you start to damage them.
And you're insulted by that because you're a good patient.
Of course
patient.
I am. Yes. Yeah. I like it. Well, yes, I will be there. You can trust me. I've been there 47 times in a row.
Exactly. You know, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Of course, my son would miss, 10 in a row, and they'd send him the note after the appointment. I go, no, that's not going to work. We have to find a different strategy on this.
Yeah.
He's 16. His mind is elsewhere.
Well, that's true. But again, that's something that hasn't changed with DNA, right? I think we were all somewhere else at 16, but yes.
I'm sure that's true. Thank God he's 24 now. But I ask you this because you start with relationships, you meet people.
Yeah.
But there are those who are trying to engage in marketing or research or sales, and they don't get out much, and they're trying to sit there in their basement and do it. I mean, is that whole premise just out the window and you've got to get out, or what would you say to that person?
Well, I don't think you have to always get out in person. I think there are ways to use the online tools effectively to build relationships. Now, it depends on your business whether you're ever going to have to meet anyone in person to make the sale. And we end up working with a lot of businesses where they make a larger sale. It's more relationship-based sale. I suppose if you're selling, books or shoes on the internet, maybe you don't ever have to meet your customer. But so many businesses these days are still businesses where it's important to know who you're buying from and meet that person. So I think that it's a fallacy that's sold by the online marketers that you can do that you can sit in your basement. I had a company the other day that talked to me about what we do, and he said, well, here, we need to double our sales pipeline. We need more leads. And what do you sell? Well, they sold factory air processing equipment. A typical sale is $1 million. He said, well, we want to put $1,000 a month into online ads, and we're thinking we'll get two more leads a month. That'll double our sales pipeline. I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous to think that he can spend $1,000 a month and make $2 million a month in sales. He's just been sold a crazy story that this will work, and people fall for that all the time.
Pretty optimistic.
Yeah. It's like a gold rush is going on. One of the things I talk about in the book is the gold rush mentality of the 49ers in 1849 in California. People just dropped whatever job they had and immediately started trying to go out and pick up free gold. And they sort of gave up jobs that actually paid real wages to try to get rich quick by just finding some gold laying on the ground or in the river. And it's almost like that's happening today, where a lot of businesses give up on things, good, solid sales and marketing processes, and just go after what they think is some sort of free gold laying around if you just buy some ads or send out some emails. And it, unfortunately, just like in 49er days, most people, it just doesn't work. All you do is go broke.
Well, now we have this idea about research and demographics, and if we just reach the right age group and the right gender and maybe the income level, and whether they like rock music or country, we figured all that out to the micro bit, and that's going to do it. But how effective is that?
Well, I think that can be effective if it's a consumer-type product. As I said, we've done research for years and years, and a lot of the work we do is for consumer companies to figure out how to position the product. So that definitely can work to make sure your product appeals to the right person.
Yeah.
But it isn't always effective from a sales and marketing
perspective. Well, you don't still know them personally, though. You know their background. You know their demographic.
Yeah.
You haven't met them yet.
Right. Yeah, you still, if you want to create your product around that, that's fine to say, this is the kind of product these kinds of people want. But when you go and sell it to them, those people want to be treated like an individual. And so you still have to. So I think positioning your product by doing research is different than trying to sell in an anonymous profile way.
I've heard people talk about online marketing in a positive way because they say they can track everything.
Yeah.
They can tangibly. Because if you buy commercials on radio or TV, you really can't.
Yeah. Well, that's that data-driven thing we talked about earlier where you can track it, but it doesn't tell you. So you get your open rate to go up 5% this month by putting some trick in the subject line. That doesn't really tell you whether it was a good thing or not. I mean, we see so many online marketing campaigns. One of the biggest problems with them is that they only all the data leads to a dead end. It doesn't lead to sales. It actually just leads to traffic and leads to inquiries from the wrong people. And so many times the business is sitting there trying to tweak things. Why are we getting these? We're getting all these inquiries from Russia that we got to change our message.
Or
we're
be careful, inquiries, Bill.
Not
yeah.
the right, not yep. the right kind of customer. So they're constantly fiddling with it, thinking that they just haven't quite gotten the recipe right. When in fact, it's never going to work. And all that data is just distracting them and making them feel like like they're making progress.
You mentioned Russia. I said, be careful. You might have to testify. Who knows? I mean, this climate we're in.
Yeah, I don't think we want to get traffic in from them on our website.
Where did you start your career? I mean, how did you evolve?
Well, so I was in the media business years ago, and then we started Troy Research, which is an online market research firm, about 20 years ago in the late 90s when the Internet first came out. So I love jumping into new things and finding new ways to do it. So we've worked for 20 years for, you know, entertainment media companies, whether that's movie studios or record companies or radio stations, and then consumer products as well, helping position them. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, we started helping to take those insights into the marketing world and say, you know, here's how you can actually move your product and get customers. And we just realized that so many of our other marketing companies out there were selling things that just didn't really work, everyone was falling for it. So I wrote the book thinking, why are people falling for this? What is going on that people keep buying this when it clearly doesn't work? And that's what the book's about.
Well, your commodity is so valuable because research, people don't do research. They just go out there, they put their shingle out, or they develop their little concept or their service before they've done step A, right? I mean, you seem like you've got it in the right order.
Well, yeah, you need to know. I mean, I guess every business in a way is doing research when they're trying to sell their product and people are buying it or not. What we try to help them do is figure out why, especially, and this is the funny thing, you know, seeing research change over 20 years, is that a big part of what a market research firm does for you is tell you what didn't happen and why it didn't happen.
Right.
You know, back to that data we were talking about, where you have data, it's all trackable. Well, you only see what happens. So let's say you have a 30% open rate on your email marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. So you know that 30% of people opened it, and that's great, but you don't know why 70% of people didn't. And that's really where market research comes in.
Right.
You'll figure out why people don't like you or didn't choose you, and that isn't in that trackable data.
That's true. Also, you also can have the number of hits, but you don't know if it was for 5 seconds or, you know, 2 minutes, right?
Yeah, and there are lots of things. I mean, they can show you time on site and traffic, you know, pattern through the website and all those sorts of things. But so many times it becomes like that casino data I talked about, where it's just distracting. You know, one of the funny things I learned in the course of doing research for this book and about how similar online marketing is to casino gambling. You know, casinos, when you use a slot machine, there's a reason you see more than one line of things on there, more than one line of Jerry's. You really only need to see the ones that matter, but they show you all the other ones because you can see patterns on there about how close you were to winning, and that's what keeps you gambling. So there are lots of techniques like that that casinos use that these online marketing people use as well in these reports. So we're so close to getting it, those leads, and we just keep tweaking things, we'll get there, but in fact, it's a mirage.
Yeah, well, it's like tabloid news. People know how to suck you in.
Yes, you know, exactly.
They know.
Exactly.
I mean, if Elliot Spitzer, with the way he wears socks, people aren't going to resist that. I'll be careful with this, but the point of it
In fact, the market research, I think, in some ways, you know, it makes me a bit angry because I think the companies like Google and HubSpot use market research against their clients because they go in and do research on what people love about their tools and their dashboards and all those sorts of things. And they find that customers love data, right? So they want more data, data.
Yeah.
So there are over 100 reports you can pull up in Google Analytics, and there are probably a dozen or two dozen options in every report. You could spend your life delving into Google Analytics reports, and that's not because it's helpful. It's because they've learned that customers like it. So it's just like putting more sugar in processed food. It just gets people to buy it. It doesn't give them anything productive.
No.
So they're using research to figure out how to suck businesses in to use more and more of this, but it isn't helping those businesses actually achieve anything.
Well, the great John Wooden, the basketball coach, wrote The Pyramid of Success. He never confused activity for achievement. You mentioned effectiveness over efficiency.
Yes.
Explain that if you could.
It's all about activity, just activity after activity after activity. It's crazy that way.
Right. So you're spinning your wheels, and to a large extent, I think the title of the book indicates, clicksand.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to click anything, I want it to be worthwhile or of interest or I won't do it, right? I mean.
Yeah. Well, and what percentage of the time do you click things and find out it wasn't what you wanted it to be or wasn't what you expected to be? It's just, and you have an instant negative reaction to it. And, you know, on the other end, though, the company thinks they had success because you opened it. So that just constantly happens with that data. One of the things that I also learned about how our brains work on data that I thought was very interesting was what's called the we're getting better effect. You know, when you do a physical activity, and this is why our brains work this way, when you do a physical activity in the real world, let's say shooting free throws, right?
Right.
When you get close, even if it doesn't go in, your brain gives you a little dopamine burst and says, good job, do that again, keep getting better. And you keep practicing and practicing, and it feels like, and you get better because it encourages you to finally get good at it. Well, the problem is that within random data, you see patterns that look like you're getting better, and so your brain gives you that same positive reinforcement. And again, that's one of those things casinos play on. And so you end up, you know, they sort of use your brain against you by giving you all this data. And you think, oh, we're up 4% this month. We're getting better. We're figuring it out. When in fact, it's just sort of random fluctuations or something that doesn't even make any difference in the final result anyway. So it's really crazy how your brain can
play tricks on you. So you cut out the fat. You're cutting out the fat. You want the meat. You want the you know, focus on. You have one. I love this one. How online marketing can kill a business. I mean, you can just kill with this.
Well, absolutely, because you're actually damaging the great relationships you have. I was talking to. In fact, here's two great examples. First one is I was talking to a CEO the other day about. I said, tell me what relationships you have. Before we get into the online marketing stuff, just tell me, do you have relationships that you should be working and managing and maximizing, and you're not? And she said, yeah. As a matter of fact, boom, she pulled over a stack of business cards. She said, I just got back from a conference. I met some great people at that conference, and I haven't followed up with them yet. So there was a stack of business right there. Instead, she wanted to do some email newsletter campaign, right? And she just is thinking that it's the easy way to go, and she's going to throw away those relationships. We had another client came to us and wanted to do an online campaign, tell me how I can do it more effectively, and I said, well, and he sold a software product that was focused, that really sold to large consumer brands, but he really only could sell it to them one time, because once they bought it, they didn't need it anymore. So he would go on to sell with more people, and I said, well, before you go on and get more new clients, what about the ones you've worked with in the past? Have you kept up with them? He said, well, no, because we need new clients all the time. We don't need the same old ones because they can't buy from us anymore. But when we looked, we found that the people that had worked at those companies that had bought his product had moved on to other companies where they could buy the product, and he hadn't kept up with any of them. He'd just thrown those relationships away again, pursuing some mirage of buying some list and just starting to send out email or AdWords or whatever. So people are just, they're being distracted away from the relationships that really could grow their business and chasing this sort of free, cheap online thing that's not really going
to
work.
Well, the email list to me that matters is the one that has individuals where you can call the individuals. So you haven't lost their names, right? You've got it in your files as opposed to a blast.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, as soon as it's blast, you're treating everyone the same, which means you're not treating anyone special, and everyone wants to be treated special. So, you know, by definition, that can't work, and it can damage it if it's somebody that thought they had a good build. You know, let's say, talk about the CEO was at that conference. If she really had a good interaction with someone at that conference, and they really were hoping to hear from her, and they don't, and if that instead they start getting spam from her, that actually damages that relationship and can kill her business.
Well, because the expectation is let down. I mean, there's disappointment then. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. They're going to go, oh, she doesn't really know or care about me. I'm just a piece of meat she's going
after. Well, the more I hear you talk, I think you should start a dating service, Bill. I think you'd make money. You could set people up. Well, you're going to be a matchmaker.
Yeah, it's funny that in some ways it's very much the same mentality where you want to build a relationship with someone that's a long-term relationship in either case, whether it's, you know, business or love.
Right.
And you build those relationships the same way for a different purpose, but you still build it by getting to know that person and care about them. Relationships are built on commonalities. We both like the same things or care about the same issues. And so finding that works in any relationship area that you're in, whether it's personal or business. And people just kind of throw that away and say they want to just... Well, in fact, the irony is when you're doing online marketing, all you're ever doing is talking about yourself.
Right.
How well does that work in your love life?
Not well.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not going to work in business either.
Especially in the first date.
Yeah, right. Me.
Well, you've established the foundation of a relationship. It is old as the hills, that concept. Then you've developed and broadened it with the new technology. It's an amazing deal. The book is Clicksand. That's right, Clicksand. How the Pitchman of Online Marketing Suck You In and Ruin Your Business by Bill Troy. It's a must read if you want to do business in 2017 and beyond. And I'm intrigued by your research. I know we both know the great Jonathan Little, who was a famous radio guy, who's now a colleague of yours, he said that people in radio, they listen and absorb songs from age 8 to 22, and then after that, they tune out. And that's so true. I mean, people have families, jobs. They don't pay attention to music after age 22 as a rule. I think that's very true. So
absolutely.
I heard that, and it just stuck in my mind. Because if I do a reference to Molly Hatchet or Fleetwood Mac and the people are in their 60s, they would just give me a blank look. But if I say the Rolling Stones, they'll all react, you know, because they were in that age zone. So you've been doing research for years, and you get information that people need to survive and succeed, and it's all crystallized in this new book, Clicksand, Bill Troy. It's been a great pleasure to talk to you, Bill.
Absolutely, Mitch.
And you're available where should people go to get the book?
Well, it's easy, clicksand.net. You can find out about the book and the philosophies and anything you need to know.
Clicksand.net. I like it. So you're smart enough. You picked a great way to click at clicksand.net. Yeah. Bill Troy, it's been a pleasure. Good luck. And when you need your next million, just give us a call. We'll talk again.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right. Great. Thanks, Bill Troy.
You bet.